This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Think back to the turn of this century and the things that were cultural touchstones here in Vermont, or outside of Vermont, the way others maybe saw our state. It'd be hard to argue against the cult classic Super Troopers. Five rather inept state troopers, supposedly fighting to keep their jobs, but mostly trading insults with the local cops, the Spurberry police force, and engaging in juvenile hijinks while trying to solve a big drug crime. Well, if you've been holding your breath for 17 years just hoping to see those endearing idiots again, your wait is over.
They've been waiting for a second chance. Waiting for their country to need them again. That time is meow.
What do you guys give me if I kill that bird?
Farber, that's a bald eagle.
Get away, Baldy!
That's right, the Super Troopers are back, and three of them are on our show today. Also, you can hop over to VPR's Facebook page if you'd like to see what these guys actually look like. We're answering questions on Facebook Live. Steve Lemmy, Paul Soder, and Eric Stolhansky are three of the five members of the Broken Lizard comedy troupe and stars of Super Troopers and now Super Troopers 2, among other movies. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
Now, Jane, I have a bone to pick with you.
Get her, Paul.
When I first sat down and I put on the headphones, Jane, you were teasing this segment, and I heard some pejoratives like dumb and stupid and inept. And I always like to think, well, if you were describing the cops from Police Academy movies, but I like to think that the cops and Super Troopers are just a little more casual.
Yeah, we're just bored. But we're good at our jobs. I mean, we get the job done.
We solve the crime. We catch the bad guys.
Say the state of Vermont.
Yes. And how can we forget it? And Vermont has been grateful to you ever since.
I'm reading this article here. And what I understand
you're reading 7 days. You have 7 days in front of you.
Yes. The Vermont Highway Patrol apparently has a bone to pick with us because they...
You know, for one thing, they're not the Vermont Highway Patrol.
What are they?
The Vermont State Troopers.
Oh, the Vermont State Troopers.
You guys couldn't use, apparently.
The state troopers will
not let you use their good name.
No, we had to alter the badge slightly and alter the cars slightly. They really thought we were going to embarrass them and besmirch the good reputation.
But I think they've just misinterpreted it. And it seemed because around in this state, this is the only state where people have been like, oh, yeah, they're inept. These guys are bumbling. They're, you know.
You mean where people characterize your characters that way?
Yeah.
Right.
How do other people in other states think of you?
Super cool.
Realistic,
really,
fun.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Amazingly
awesome,
accurate.
Comical.
Virile.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot that one. Yeah.
So.
But anyway, you were saying this
article.
Well,
it seems that I think there's just I think that, you know, the Vermont State Troopers maybe are on their heels a little bit because they thought they were going to be attacked and maybe they haven't come off that because, quite frankly, we get the job done. We solve the crimes. We save the day always.
I think it's like one of those things when you embarrass yourself and then you feel like if you have to cop to it later that, you know, you're just digging yourself a hole. So I think they're standing their ground on this thing.
Yeah.
I think secretly they're quite proud of what we have done for the state and its reputation on the national stage.
Well, stick around. Tomorrow we're going to have a panel of state troopers and we'll be asking them what they think.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Oh. I would love to. Except that we have to go to New York today.
You know, and to be honest, you're five guys who create these films, but really it's the women in the films who solve all of the crimes. I just want to point that out.
They're the smart ones.
Yeah.
But everybody knows the women are smarter.
Yes. Good. As long as we have that clear. All right. So I don't want to reveal any spoilers because I'm pretty sure that I'll get in major trouble with your publicist if I do. So maybe one of you could lay out the plot. We know the Super Troopers are back. They're here to save America and perhaps Canada. What more can you tell us about this film, which of course comes out on 420, April 20th?
Well, the movie is about there's been a border reassessment that's been done between Canada and the U.S. and we've discovered that some of the stone markers are in the wrong places. And so actually Canada owes the United States and Vermont a couple of miles of highway. And there is a town, a Canadian town, that is going to ultimately have to become an American town. And they're going to need a group of experienced highway patrolmen to patrol this new area of land. And that's where we come in.
Now, and I should point out that this whole thing was inspired by a true story that we heard on NPR, where after 9/11, there were border reassessments and that there were places where they found that the markers were not exactly where they thought they were. So this was not just steeped in a true story, but steeped in something that we heard about on NPR.
Yeah. I'm glad to hear
you should know that we've come in here, and because this is the place, VPR is the place to get the facts straight.
That's right.
That's why we're being all official here.
Good.
Meticulous fact checking, I believe, may be one of your credos around here.
You might be looking at our pledge drive mottos hanging up here, which you're not supposed to see or repeat. you know, so last night I spent the evening happily ensconced in the movie theater in the press area, but alongside a lot of people who were more eager than reporters are allowed to be to see your movie because they actually helped to put up the money to make it. So you had all of these supporters in the film, in the theater, in the screening, who helped you make your film. Can you talk a little bit about the crowdfunding that you had to do to get this long-awaited sequel out?
Sure. Well, we did an Indiegogo campaign to raise money for Super Troopers 2. And to our surprise and gratitude, we had 54,000 supporters help us make Super Troopers 2 that helped contribute in exchange for perks. And one of the perks was getting to see the movie early, so we had Indiegogo screenings for some of the supporters.
And you had actually done that thinking about ways that other movies had sort of failed to thank their supporters and supporters then had to go buy a ticket to a movie that they put up money to make.
Absolutely. I believe it was the first time that Fandango ever offered a ticket in advance. So part of the perk was you could have a ticket to the movie previous other previous campaigns. You had to give a perk. You did not get the perk of receiving the movie ticket.
He's going to get it. He'll get it.
I finished kindergarten.
It's good. We're working on these interviews. It's, you know, you're doing this one.
That's the first time doing an interview, so he's, you know, he's just working it out. Yeah, no, Fandango offered us this perk. It's the first time they ever did it. You could buy the ticket in advance, and because there were photos I know of, like some previous Indiegogo campaigns where there were people like at the Sundance Film Festival who were holding up signs like, I gave money to this movie and I can't get in to see it. And that was something we really didn't want to happen. And it's nice because at these screenings you have these Indiegogo backers and you realize that you're sitting in a room full of people without whom the movie would never have been made. I mean, nobody was giving us the money to make the movie. And so these people contributed their money in some cases.
Over $4 million, right?
$4.5 million, yeah. In some cases, they didn't have the money. You know, like one guy sent us an email like, hey, I'm skipping my car payments this month so I can contribute to the campaign. And you're like, no, please, that's not what we want. But it's a testament.
As you take the money and put it in your wallet. No. We don't feel comfortable. Okay. All right.
You're doing the old Heinze shuffle, you know.
But you guys, I mean, Super Troopers, the original, didn't really do that well at the box office, but it became this cult hit. I mean, it's beloved and beloved beyond Vermont. So why did you have to front the money to make this film and do it through this crowdfunding? I mean, why wasn't somebody eager to say, yeah, we'll make this movie and we're pretty sure we'll make money off it?
I mean, we could have gone right to Fox Home Entertainment and done the movie. I mean, they would have been thrilled to do it because, yeah, it's one of the most successful movies in the history of Fox Home Entertainment. But we wanted it to be theatrical. We're still kind of old school guys. So for us, a movie is only a real movie if you go see it in the theater. And so really, it was about convincing them that, you know, all the people who bought DVDs, because there were millions of them, that they would go see the second movie in a way different than how they consumed the first one. And, you know, we've all seen how the landscape of movie making has changed, and it's all gigantic movies that are, you know, these sort of safe bets to be global multi-million dollar making movies. They're not making those kind of in between or small movies anymore, or they're making little micro budget movies. And so it's the kind of movie that sadly doesn't necessarily get greenlit these days.
But you really wanted to make it. I mean, 17 years later, you're not tired of these characters. You're not tired of their cleverness and skill.
Well, you know, we haven't been playing the characters for the last 17 years.
We did have, yeah.
Yeah, the movie came out 17 years ago. It's true, much as we hate to admit that it's been that long.
No, it ages us.
But and then between, we stopped. Yeah.
Well, we made Club Dread, Beer Fest, Slam and Salmon. We did a live national tour.
Yeah, but I don't walk around like in character as Mac. I know I have a mustache right now, but that's for the promotion of the film.
No. No, it was really fun too, because it was a long time ago, and you know, we're fans of it, and so you know, it was an exciting opportunity also to sit down and write a movie where we knew who everybody was, the world had already been built, and sure enough, it was a lot of fun because you knew, okay, create this situation. Well, you know what Favre is going to say. You know what Rabbit's going to do in this case. It made it a really, that familiarity actually became a really nice part of the creative process.
The Vermont Agency of Agriculture Facebook account actually posted to say that you guys should chug more maple syrup. So you are getting some official recognition here from the state government.
I wonder if those people have ever chugged the maple syrup.
Nobody who has ever chugged maple syrup encourages anyone to chug maple syrup.
And did you actually chug maple syrup in the original film?
The question I get asked almost on a daily basis is, did you really chug maple syrup? And the story is, we showed up on set that day, and any responsible prop master put iced tea in the bottles that we're supposed to drink. But we did a take, and then Jay went and looked at playback, and he came back. Jay's played Thorny, but he also directed the movie. And he came back and he said, I think we have a problem, Eric. It doesn't look like maple syrup. It's not thick enough. It doesn't have the glug, glug, glug. And so he said, we don't really have time to try to solve this problem. He said, you're from Minnesota. I'm from Chicago. Let's just drink maple syrup. And so we started doing take after take after take. You got the wide, you got the close-up, you got the covered. And next thing you know, Jay had done two full bottles. By the time I finished my close-up, I'd done three full bottles of maple syrup.
That's actually dangerous.
It was a lot of sugar, a lot of sugar. And afterwards,
shut you guys down.
Yeah, we went to Jay's trailer. Everyone went to lunch, and Jay and I went to his trailer, turned off the dark, and shivered in the dark for a good hour trying to.
It's also a major ingredient of the cleanse.
Yes,
the master cleanse, because it has cleansing capabilities, which, you know, like it or not, yeah, that's what
you
have to put
up
with.
Are you sponsored now by Maple Syrup?
It should be.
He's in the pocket of Big Maple.
Yeah. Yes, so, there is Big Maple, you know. There is a strategic reserve of maple syrup.
Oh, they're coming
in
after you for making that comment. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no, it's any time that I get sort of, if I get a little worn out of people coming up to me and saying meow, I think to myself, well, at least I'm not Eric, who really, truly, once every couple weeks, has somebody approach him with maple syrup saying, we're going to chug maple syrup, buddy. Let's do it. I mean, and I think to myself, thank God I was not that character. And that's not my legacy, the legacy that you have. You've really dug yourself a hole.
Oh, yeah. And even in, like, in the promotion of Super Troopers 2, a lot of the companies that we're partnering up with, they want to do something involving the syrup chug. And we're like, you know, Paul and I are like, well, I mean, you know, Mac and Foster don't chug in the movie. It should probably be the guys who did it in the movie. That would make sense and won't confuse the fans, which is another thing. We're just sliding the syrup back to him.
Helpful.
Well, I had a funny story. When my wife and I first got married, I went to a movie with my wife and in-laws, and my in-laws weren't very familiar with Super Troopers at the time. We came out of a movie theater, and there was a guy coming at me with two bottles of maple syrup, and he came up to me, and he was like, let's chug some syrup. And my in-laws were like, what is going on?
What has our daughter gotten herself into?
A random person in a movie theater.
It's every parent's nightmare. Your daughter marries a syrup chugger.
You know, I want to ask you about you. You mentioned, Paul, that you guys are old school, and I hesitate to say this and offend you, but you guys are also old. I mean, you are, what, in your late 40s now, judging by when you graduated from college?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So you're still making movies where, you know, you've got this stoner culture. You're being kind of dumb.
Juvenile.
Yeah, juvenile. I wonder, first of all, if doing your own stunts is a little bit harder than maybe it was 15 or 20 years ago. But also, do you get tired of this sort of this attitude that you have to play? Do you want to do like a Royal Shakespeare production with Brian Cox next time?
No, not really. I don't want to do Shakespeare with Brian Cox. I mean, the funny thing to me is that, like, the difference between the two promotional tours of this particular movie. In the Super Troopers 1, it was our first time, and Fox Searchlight sent us, they put us on a rock and roll tour bus with our images, you know, shrink wrapped around the bus, and drove us across the country for 6 weeks doing free screenings and partying every night, and we were hungover every morning. And then they sent us to Australia for 2 more weeks. Same thing over there. And it's like, and we partied every single night. This is our first time. We were into it. And now it's like, you know, we're trying to figure out ways to not have that happen. And like, our conversations couldn't be duller. And
we yell at our handlers for not building in nap time in our itinerary. And it's true. We just can't. Just you can't put up with just the things that we used to. And I think what I have to do is just keep telling myself, like, all right, well, yeah, but how many other 48-year-olds are, like, at a brewery and there's 600 screaming fans, like, rushing us and grabbing and taking photos and video? And, like, people, like, somebody, like, tried to rip Steve's clothes off. And I was like, it's true, we're too old for this crap. But at the same time, it's like, okay, wow. Well, how often, I mean, how many more times are we going to be able to have that kind of life?
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, we don't set out to do something that's like, hey, let's appeal to the pot smoking crowd. We're just simply
except releasing the film on 420.
That wasn't our decision.
Not a decision. That's a classic marketing decision. But
yeah, but that's that also seems to be just where we get pigeonholed. I mean, we're just trying to make each other laugh for real. And it's I think it's easy for whatever studio we are working with to say like, hey, it's the pot smokers. We actually fight to go beyond that. I mean, Super Troopers 2 is the movie we've made that has tested the highest now and is actually the highest testing with women that we have made. And so and the numbers are really good in the focus groups and the test screenings. And so we've been pushing to get out of that. But, you know, it's such a – I mean, 420 falling on a Friday is such a fortuitous thing. And it really is kind of like a holiday weekend that they've created. And so – it is what it is.
Well, plus you need people to see this film, actually.
Absolutely, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, you know, we would love to, like, do something like a Cassavetes film. We would love to do, like, something like Husbands. I mean, we do aspire to do stuff that would, yeah, be a little less silly. But I think, you know, there are years and years and years of people very sincerely coming to us and saying it would make us so happy to be in that world again and see those characters again. And you know, it just felt like, we really should do this.
And it is funny and it is nice to be back in that world again and see these characters and see everybody return, you know, to see all the people that you remember from the first film back. You know, you don't have one of those new Becky from Roseanne moments where suddenly Rabbit is a different actor. And it's great. You have this whole cast that's back and they're just as funny as before. Today we're talking with three of the five members of the Broken Lizard comedy group and stars of Super Troopers and Super Troopers 2, Steve Lemmy, Paul Soder, and Eric Stolhansky. Were you a Super Troopers fan? What questions do you have for these state trooper impersonators?
Me smile when you said state trooper impersonators because we actually got in trouble shooting the first one. It was such a low-budget movie. Normally what you have are Teamsters who would drive the picture vehicles home at the end of the day. In our case, they didn't even have that. So they just were like, okay, guys, we're done for the day. We just go ahead. We're still in costume. Just go ahead and drive the picture cars back to town. And so we were driving around New York on highways in uniforms, in police cars. And they said, I think you'll be fine as long as you just don't turn the lights on. And of course, I'll let you guess, one of the three of us couldn't resist. And it came back to result in knocking on a hotel room door with one of us hiding under his bed for fear of being arrested for impersonating a police officer.
Sure. And were you arrested?
I'm still in the lamb. I'm still a wanted man.
Well, I say this only because you can't go to Canada if you have a record.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I'm on milk bottles. See, they have milk bags in Canada, so they can't have my face on a milk bag. So I feel safe going into Canada.
Good,
smart.
Got it. Yeah. Let's go to Alex, who's calling in from Brattleboro. Hi, Alex. Go right ahead.
Hey there. Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm thrilled to be able to chat with you guys.
Hi, Alex.
Big Super Troopers fan.
Thanks.
So this is all unsubstantiated rumor, but I believe or I've heard that you filmed Super Troopers 1 in Vermont, but didn't film Super Troopers 2 in Vermont. That could all be wrong, but the rumor is it had to do with tax breaks Vermont used to have for filming. So I was wondering if any of that's true and if you could talk about making small budget films with tax breaks, and I'll take it off the air.
Thank you, Alex. You're 50% right, which the first one was shot in upstate New York around Poughkeepsie. And yeah, because not just that had a tax incentive at the time, but also to bring your crew up from New York was a lot easier. You could, if you're closer to a city, you can, you know, you shoot something rural, but you can pull people from a city. We shot the second one in Massachusetts, so you were correct there. And that was, again, it was about tax incentives. And it's always killed us because to us, also, the first movie was a love letter to Vermont, and we would have liked nothing more than to shoot it here. It was inspired by our experiences in Vermont. But the realities of low budget and, frankly, even gigantic Hollywood filmmaking is that producers will always go where the tax incentives are, so much so that it's ridiculous that they've had to create tax incentives in California to keep movies in Hollywood. So it's this bizarre sort of thing that's happening. But my understanding is there is an initiative to get a tax incentive in Vermont. So we've got our fingers crossed that people will come out on 420, see number two. We've got number three halfway written. It would be a pleasure to jump right into number three and to shoot it in Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
What could be better?
Except that the Vermont State Troopers.
We're going to win those guys.
Well, so last night at the screening, speaking of the State Troopers, you mentioned, one of you said, I think we have some State Troopers here in the audience. You also said that over the years, perhaps the State Troopers did not like the depiction of themselves in this film, but you think you're winning them over. And so did you give them tickets? Did you invite them to the screening last night?
Well, at every one of these screenings we're doing, we're discovering that a lot of state troopers and local policemen and women are contributors to the Indiegogo campaign. And then we invite men and women in uniform to the screenings too. So there were a number of them last night. And I think, we've had a lot of police come up to us and thank us for the portrayal because, it's either you're like a corrupt cop or you're like – a police
Keystone
academy,
cop,
that is bumbling and inept and eating donuts and, making sound effects. But there is,
instead, you guys are just chugging maple syrup and taking drugs to figure out what the drugs are because you can't take them
policing.
To the
That's just good policing.
Listen,
like
we didn't
Sherlock,
have the equipment.
Like Sherlock on BBC. What does that guy do? That guy's an opium addict.
Yeah, we had
right?
just gotten into the station. There's no equipment. I mean, what are we going to do? Let this? They're children on drugs.
Yeah.
That's right.
Children
yes,
are on
there
drugs.
Do what
on
needs
drugs.
To get
it's
done.
A can-do attitude.
We're the cops who do what needs to get done. To solve the crime.
And this is the kind of stuff that the real police officers appreciate.
I think a good cop would appreciate good copping.
Innovation,
yeah.
But really, they do like seeing a fun depiction of police
yes,
officers.
Yes, they like – I think it's, more so with the first film. I think the crux of that first film was these guys are bored. And so like anybody who has a job that can be boring, you find ways to entertain yourself and entertain your buddies. And I really think that was the thing that cops identified with is – cops have been depicted in so many different ways, but honestly, as regular guys who have jobs that can sometimes get on your nerves, that was the thing that people said to us across the board was, nobody else sort of ever portrayed us that way, which is really what we are. They think of themselves as regular people with jobs.
We got a note from Raymond who says, I love the original movie. Anyone who has not seen it should watch it right meow.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ray.
Christopher says, can't wait for the sequel. Meow.
Okay.
And let's go to Chris, who's calling in from Whitingham. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Hi, my name's Chris. I'm from Whitingham. I just say my family loves the first Super Troopers movie. We can't wait for the second one to come out.
Thank you.
You guys picked a great day to release it, and that's all I have to say right now.
You got me on there. I love that.
I'll say one nice thing about the movies being released during this time span is that at our live shows, we're certainly meeting a lot of people that say, hey, like college kids come up to us and say, hey, my Uncle Joey turned me on to your movie. And what we're discovering is that actually Super Troopers is a family film.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people watch it with their family. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You should warn them. There is some full frontal male nudity.
It
in
is rated R.
Films.
There sure
R.
is.
Equal
there
opportunity.
Well, be ready if you're watching with your.
I'm glad
dad.
You brought that
tasteful.
Up.
Tasteful.
I'm glad you brought
tasteful.
That up. Well. For years, decades, Hollywood has been exposing people to gratuitous female nudity that had no place in the film whatsoever. We're giving something back. A little gratuitous male nudity.
We're just trying to balance the scales a little bit, which is why, there's a scene that takes place in a dual-sex strip club.
Which is a true thing.
When do you see that? You don't
a dual-sex strip club, we should say, owned by the mayor of this small town in Quebec, Vermont, who's played by Rob Lowe.
Yes.
By the way, prostitution is legal in Canada. And so we thought it was just a funny thing that, like, a legitimate business owner, who owns a brothel would also be the mayor of the town. And he's actually – his backstory, he's an esteemed businessman.
Yes, and a former hockey player.
A former hockey star.
He has credentials.
A very good hockey player.
Right. To us, it was like, what is the ultimate Canadian stud? Mm-hmm. It is the mayor of a town, a former hockey star who owns and operates a dual-sex bordello.
Named Guy
Lafront.
There's only one man who can play that person.
And that's Rob Lowe.
Youngblood.
Did you have to convince him to do this, or was he eager?
He signed on sight unseen. Jay had been directing episodes of his show, The Grinder. And that's been the nice thing about the goodwill that we've gotten from the first movie is that people were like, just show me where do I go? Where do I sign? And Rob was one of those people. I mean, so much so, he had agreed to do the movie, and we needed him for about 10 days. And He then, after he agreed, he was cast in a procedural.
Code Black.
Code Black. And the schedule for shooting was he was going to be in L.A. Monday through Friday, shooting all day, every day. And I think most actors would be like, well, okay, sorry, guys, I got this job. But he said, well, sorry, guys, but if you can maybe arrange it to just shoot me on the weekends, if you can make it so that the schedule works that I go out on the weekends, I'll work Monday through Friday, and on Friday night in L.A., I'll get on a plane, I'll fly to Boston, I'll drive an hour and a half to set, I'll work with you guys over the weekend, on Sunday night I'll fly back, and like, that's the kind of guy he is, and because he's a great guy, but because he really wanted to do the movie. Like, that's so cool to us.
And he's really good looking.
And he's still gorgeous.
He also does a pretty passable French-Canadian accent. I was impressed.
Yeah, no, he improvised a lot on set. He nailed, except for one little stretch of dialogue that he couldn't quite get, which we've got in the blooper reel.
Flova Scotia.
Yeah.
I won't reveal what that means.
Yeah, he was amazing. He really brought a lot to the table.
So the running gag, of course, in this movie is really taking pot shots at Canada, and the Canadian Mountie's also taking some pot shots at the U.S.
Shot,
so it's equal opportunity, but there's a lot of jokes at Canada's expense. And I understand you've actually screened this film in Toronto. Yeah. What was the reaction like in the screening?
We were nervous about that one.
Yes, going to the Lion's Den.
Yeah, it was our first screening. It was on Monday, this past Monday in Toronto, and 5 minutes in, there's an anti-Canada joke, and they laughed at that because it's all remember good natured and
they do like
and
to
the
laugh
U.S.
at themselves.
Gets it too.
Yeah,
for
we
sure.
get it as
yeah.
well.
But we realized that there is a pattern to it. So what happened?
Well, so then it's like there are like three or four more jokes because we're making our way up to Canada. We're crossing the border. We're going in. We're talking about our involvement now in the world of Canada as it's going to apply to the Super Troopers, and it's just like five or six anti-Canada jokes, and you could feel the mood turn. In the States, those are getting great laughs. Yeah. In Canada, though, they were like,
each laugh gets a little quieter, and we're like, oh, no, have we lost them? But then it starts coming back the other way, and now they're like screaming, they're going nuts. So it actually was like a fun ride for them, I think.
Oh,
is this where this movie's going? And then, oh no, we're going to give it right back to them.
Because the thing is, like, the comments we're making about them are sort of like vague stereotypes. Their comments back to us are the facts.
Right, much more incisive.
Yeah, that we are not, as good as we think we are.
And health system, the metric system.
Gun control.
The metric system jokes are among my favorite.
Yeah, so.
And that's what they were responding to then. And that was nice because then we had them right back. But I think it on the first viewing, it just took a moment for them just to wrap their heads around what this was, what it was looking like it was going to be, and then what it actually turned out to be.
Another note from Mike who says, took two movies with me when I deployed overseas, Super Trooper and Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Wow.
Yeah. And Paul in Warren says, nothing I've heard so far makes me want to see this seemingly inane movie. Or the first one.
What? That didn't charm you?
We have a lot of support in the military. Mm. And we like to do free screenings. I know we screened Beer Fest at Camp Pendleton. We've gone to NORAD and, we've gotten videos sent to us at an Iraqi checkpoint. The soldiers were doing the meow game with some Iraqi locals. But you realize that the Iraqis are just looking at them straight faced. The meow game actually works best when the person speaks English and understands that meow and now and like is confusing those two. And in this case, it was for, the soldiers' enjoyment only, and the Iraqis were not in on the joke, but.
Well, I appreciate the three of you being here today and sharing the film and your enthusiasm for it with us. And the film comes out, Super Troopers 2, on April 20th. These guys are really hoping you'll go see it in the theater so they can make a third one. Steve Lemme, Paul Soder, and Eric Stolhansky, three of the five members of Broken Lizard Comedy Group. Thank you so much for talking
Thank
with
you.
Us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks.
You're listening to Vermont Edition.